Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
Now, if you're looking at my shirt, it's not that I've gotten hot. We had just Elisha just left a little something to remember the dedication, so that's all right, though. Several weeks ago, we had a Verge pickup in our neighborhood, and you probably had similar. You know what Verge pickups are? It's where you look at the things that are broken, that don't work anymore, they're in disrepair, items you don't want, you drag them out to your Verge. One item that Tracy and I put on our Verge was this old water heater. This isn't the one, but it would have looked something like that. I had to call Pete, my neighbor, to come and help me drag it to the Verge, and we left it there. It was hauled off. You know, the interesting thing about this water heater is that for really years, I can't even remember how long it was, Tracy and I had this system where we'd turn on the hot water tap, and, you know, we'd put our hands under the tap, and it would just be tepid water. We turn on the shower and it'd come and it would just be like lukewarm. And if you really wanted hot, you couldn't even touch the cold knob. You just had to work with the hot and you cranked it all the way up and then you could get a little bit something going. And we had a plumber out a couple months ago. They were looking at our system and they said, "Oh, your hot water heater's packed it in. You know, you need to get a new one." We're like, "Oh, okay." So we took him at his word. We got this new one. Then I'm lathered up. I'm ready for a shave. I turn the hot water on, put my hands under, and almost get scalded. And then we turn on for the shower, and all of a sudden steam is rising out of the basin. And it's like, my word, we never knew what was going on. We had this, you know, I had been thinking, wow, we just can't get hot water right now. You know, we got a water shortage. It looks like the hot water's on shortage. I didn't realize. We didn't know what we were missing. Now we got this water coming in and it's blistering and we're like, wow, we could have been experiencing this all along. We're missing out and we didn't even know what we were missing. I was thinking about that old hot water heater. Our spiritual lives can be very much that same way. We can be missing out and we may not even know what we're missing. Some of you may be sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, I've got a lousy marriage. I've got a short fuse. I've got a bad temper. I can't control the words that come out of my mouth. You may be saying, I'm basically a selfish person. Maybe you're saying, I can't forgive. I can't let go. And you say to yourself, just the way it is. That's it. That's my life. This is the cards I've been dealt. It's as good as it gets. And you're like me with that hot water. You turn it all the way up and it's still not that hot. But you think, that's it. That's as good as it gets. It's all I've been dealt in life. You know, there's two responses that we can have when it comes to looking at our lives. We can be saying, that's it. These are the cards I've been dealt. Or we can be saying to ourselves, Lord, what's next? What do you have for me? You know what the saddest thing is? It's possible that we can settle. We can settle for less than what God desires. We can resign ourselves to saying, well, I have this faith, but I'm not really growing and I'm stuck. I can't get out of this hole. It's possible for us to be missing what God wants for our lives. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're asking the question, is it possible that we can be settling for less than what God intends? We're settling for less. We're just settling for mediocrity. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and see what Peter writes and see what he has to say to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Peter's second epistle, chapter 1. Remember a couple weeks ago, we were looking at the call of Peter. He wasn't any theologian. He was a fisherman. And Jesus said to him, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men and women. I got bigger fish to fry. I want to involve you in mission. And now when we come to Peter writing this, we see that it has now become a reality. He's actually doing that. By God's power, God is using him to transform lives. He's fishing for men and women, making a huge difference in the lives of people. The people that to whom he was writing, it was at the time of Nero where there was persecution. You put your hand up and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. You could be tortured, you could be killed, you could be put in the Colosseum. It wasn't an easy thing to be a follower of Christ, so Peter's writing to encourage them. It also was a time when these false teachers were springing up from within the church. So they not only had external problems, internally had these false teachers creeping in, trying to lead people astray, and Peter writes to challenge them. The interesting thing is that Peter doesn't make this big defense about this is what not to believe. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come and hit it head on and say, this is what God calls us to. This is a life we're called to lead. I think Peter thought the best defense is a good offense. So he takes to the offensive. Look with me in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says, for this very reason. Whenever you see a paragraph start like that where it says, for this very reason, you really have to look back, go back into the context and say, what reason is he talking about? You go back to verse 3, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You almost need to stop and read that a second time. Do you see that? His divine power has given us everything we need. You could be saying, I'm stuck, I'm in a rut. Peter's coming back and saying, you don't need to be. He's given us his divine power. Everything we need for life and godliness, to live a life that's honoring to God. And look at what else he says in verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. So we have divine power, we have divine promises. And what does he say about these things? He says, through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. There's a chance for us to move forward. There's a chance for us to move on. We're participating with God, Peter says. God's at work through his power and promises. He's at work within us. And this is why he starts and he says, for this very reason. We have this divine partnership. And because we have this divine partnership, you know what Peter says? He says, make every effort. Don't just sit back. God's equipped you. God's given you this power, these promises. His divine nature is at work within you. So now it calls us to action. Not only is the Christian life about saying it's possible. I know my life's not what it ought to be. I know my life's not on track now. It's not only about saying it's possible, but it's about seeking it out and saying, Lord, I know you can do something. I know I can change. Make every effort to add to your faith. Think of the story of A.J. Gordon. One of my degrees is from a place called Gordon Conwell, and that's where that Gordon comes from, that man, A.J. Gordon. He's walking in a field once, and in the distance he saw this figure of a man with his hand on a well, and the well was pumping this water, and the water was just gushing forward. Caught his eye because of the repetition and the unflinchingness of this pump going up and down, up and down. And Gordon couldn't help but think that man must be incredibly strong to keep pumping that well and pumping that water. And finally, when he saw this guy wasn't stopping, he was unrelenting, he said, I want to meet that man. So he started walking closer and closer. And as he got closer, he realized something. It wasn't a man at all. It was a cutout. It was a wooden cutout. And it was just a cutout with a hinged arm. And it was actually an artesian well. And Gordon made the observation, the man wasn't pumping the well, the water was pumping him. Up and down, up and down. And he began to understand there's a spiritual principle here. Whenever you see God working in someone, whenever you see somebody accomplish something spiritually, someone growing, someone producing fruit, know this. The power is not coming from him, it's coming through him. It's God's at work, his divine nature. God's at work in our lives. That's the great assurance that we have, this idea that God partners with us. And because of that, we are called to make every effort to add to your faith. People sometimes might read this and say, what does this mean, to add to your faith? Does that mean that we're saving ourselves? That we're the ones that are bringing about our own redemption by good works? No, this is something that we need to understand. When it says add to your faith is the starting point. The Bible talks about faith as a new beginning, a new birth. Faith is where we receive the gift of life. And yet faith is the starting point, but is never the ending point. We receive new life, spiritual life, by faith. But you add to it. It's just the beginning. Faith is never the ending. The word here to add is an interesting Greek word. It's from where we get the English word to choreograph, choreography. And you think about what is choreography? It's when actors are instructed or dance steps are given. And it's this idea that says that there's a plot, there's a storyline, but there's a choreography that's going with the actors or the dancers where they're given instructions, they're given steps. And this is what Peter's saying. He's saying alongside faith, you add this choreography, you add these steps. The word there means to supply. It means accompaniment. So faith alone, yes, faith alone will save you. Gives you life. But you add. There's an accompaniment. Here's the way I'd like to say it. If faith is the music you're listening to, Peter's saying there are steps that you need to dance to. And he gives seven qualities, seven areas of spiritual growth that he says, this is what accompanies us. This is what should be growing, being nurtured in our faith. We're going to look at those seven qualities in a moment. But before I go there, I want to just pause here for a second so that we get something really clear. When Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith, do you understand what he's saying? There is an expectation of continual growth. There's no place in the Bible where we get to this place where we say, I've arrived. I've made it. I'm done. Done all the spiritual growing I'm going to do. You never get to that place. Continual growth, progress. This is what Peter sees for our lives, for you and me. I want to look at this chart, and if I could bring it up on the PowerPoint, it talks a little bit about what we see. The ministry of the church here, SUBY Church. We think about this journey. We think about this progression. There's pre-conversion, and then there's a Christ follower. And I've thought about three phases that happen for people who are still far from God. And can I see the first one? We see that let's go back to the first slide there, slide where it says, go and make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. At SUBY Church, we talk about growing wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. I want to show you what that means, what that looks like. Okay, now if we can. The first phase that we see for people who don't know Christ yet, they can be far away, and it can mean an indifference to faith. They don't even see the value of faith. They don't want to know anything about faith. So what's the next step? Because every one of these phases, you need to be thinking, what's the next step? What's the next step? No, go back to that one. Sorry, go back. Yeah. So the next step is growing awareness and exposure. They need to be seeing, they need to be rubbing shoulders with people of faith, men and women of faith. You know who that is? That's you. People at this stage will probably not enter into this building. We know that. We're planning on that. You know, that's why we're equipping you as the church scattered. Because you're going into your office, your neighborhood, your university. You're the one who's going to be rubbing shoulders with these people. You're going to make a difference. The church scattered. That's how we're going to reach these people. Not through having them come to these meetings. They're probably not ready for that yet. But through you and your faith. What's the next step? An openness to faith. The next step is they move a little bit closer. They become open to faith. They see there's benefits. They see there's a value to belief. What do they need next? They need to hear testimonies of how Jesus Christ has worked in your life. They need to hear your story, how God has transformed you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we want to be equipping you to be able to tell your story, to be able to share boldly and openly and clearly what God has been doing in your life. What's the third phase that we see? Now they move from indifference to faith, openness to faith. Now, the third stage, the third phase here, interest in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is where the programs that we do as the church gathered come in. These are where we run Alpha programs. Invite them along to Alpha. This is where you can be inviting them along to services like this. Or we do special outreaches all the time. This is where the church gathered cooperates and partners with the church scattered. What you're doing in your ministry out there dovetails in with the ministry that we're doing collectively. And we see people hopefully come to a place where they receive Jesus Christ and they come to faith. And they come to the cross. Can I go back to our, yeah. And they come to the cross. But here's the interesting thing. The journey doesn't end there. We've brought them to faith. They've come to know Jesus Christ. That's great. But that's not where the journey ends. Jesus said, go and make disciples. We're about growing wholehearted followers. That means we start with people who are far from God, but we keep going. So what's the next step after they've come to faith? You're young. You're new. In your faith, want you to increase in understanding. This is where what we call our wholehearted followers movement, our wholehearted followers covenant, where we talk about spiritual disciplines. These are the things that allow us to grow. This is what we want for every new young believer. You ever met someone physically 40 years of age, 50 years of age? And yet you talk to them and you realize they have the mind of a 5-6-year-old. There's a sadness that comes with that. For whatever reason, they've become stuck. They weren't able to grow. They weren't able to develop properly. Saddest thing is people can come to faith in Christ and they can just get stuck. They're in that position as a babe. Never move forward, never grow. This is why we're saying if you engage in these spiritual disciplines, these are the things that God uses to produce these qualities. God produces this work in you. And this is why it's important to us. What's the next step? We move from new and young to growing in one's faith. This is where you're called to engage in service, engage in mission, and to be mentored by someone a little bit older, a little bit wiser. This is what we desire. Many of you have gone overseas and been involved in cross-cultural mission. My personal goal is that every one of you would have that opportunity because I think it's life-transforming. It's this opportunity that comes and we see what God's doing around the world and we see how God can use each of us. You want to be growing in the Lord. Engage in mission. Engage in ministry. Engage in service. Be mentored. And then we come to the third phase. We're mature in one's faith. Now you have the opportunity to lead. to teach. Not just to be mentored, but to be a mentor. To help others along that road. Every step along the way, you keep asking, Lord, what's next? What's next? I know people have said to me, Graham, this wholehearted follower stuff just seems like nonsense to me. Why does Subi Church waste so much time and energy trying to do this? You see what God's Word says? It says, make every effort to add to your faith. That's a challenge. Where none of us become stagnant. That we can always be growing and saying, Lord, what's next? What's next? I stopped growing physically a long time ago, at least this way, right? You know the wonderful thing? 50, 60, 70, 80. There's no limit to how deep I can keep growing spiritually if I make every effort, because God's working in me. That's true for all of us. You can keep going and keep going. Let's look at these seven qualities. I wish I could talk about these more, but I'm not going to have the chance this morning. But I'm just going to go through them quickly. The seven qualities, seven areas of development. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Goodness talks about moral excellence. Talk about living a life of integrity. Where in your daily life, you understand what God desires and what He would have you choose. The second quality, add to goodness, add to goodness, knowledge. Knowledge just doesn't mean just stuff in your head. Here it's actually talking about spiritual understanding, insight. You understand, you see God more clearly. You understand what God desires for your life. You understand who you are, what God would have you to be. Knowledge, spiritual understanding, you add that to goodness. To knowledge, you add self-control. Command of your emotions, your passions, your desires. You would not let your emotions get the better of you and rule over you, but by God's Spirit, you'd be under His control. Self-control by God's power. Fourthly, perseverance. It's the word endurance. You want to put your hand up and say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. Just like the original readers at this time, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. There'll be opposition. There'll be challenges. There'll be times you're discouraged. There'll be those that will seek to discourage you. So you add to self-control, perseverance. You want to follow Jesus Christ. It won't always be beer and Skittles. We add to perseverance godliness. Speaks of a reverence for God. A sense of His holiness. A sense of His majesty, of His grandeur. Desire just to live for Him. Realizing bringing glory to His name is a worthy way of spending your life. Godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And one of the saddest things is that many times people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and it's all about me. This is what God's going to do for me. The point is, it's not just what God's going to do for you, but what He's going to do in and through you. The arrows of our life should never be pointing inward. They should always be pointing outward. Kindness. We add that to our faith. Concern for others and the welfare of others. An insight to see what they need, how we can help. Last one. You see the last one, number seven. We add love. You understand this, that everyone whose journey begins with faith, the end of the story should be love. Love for God. Love for others. arrow's not pointing inward, arrow's pointing outward. This is what Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith. Look at what it says in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Do you understand what that means when it says in increasing measure? That it's not just going down this list and saying, okay, yes, I've got goodness, and now I've got knowledge, and now I've got self-control, perseverance. It's not just going down that. It's saying that each one of those qualities, you can go deeper, you can grow. That means there's never a place where you say, I've arrived, I'm done. Each one of those qualities, we can go deeper, deeper. That's the challenge for each of us. To be growing in increasing measure. Look at the results that it says in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. You know what ineffective means? It literally means useless, idle. Unproductive means unfruitful. Here is a tree that produces nothing to nurture someone. I think of Peter and how the words of Jesus must have impacted him. I think of the story of the talents. The guy that was given this talent, he was given this large sum of money to use. And what did he do? He buried it. Idle. Useless. Lazy. Unproductive. Imagine one day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be shameful to hear these words? Ineffective. Unproductive. Wouldn't it be so much better to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. To make our lives count. He's going to put it then in the negative. In verse 9, where he says, but if anyone does not have them, all right, you've got faith. You've got a new life in Christ, but you don't go forward in it. You don't add to your faith. I'm going to heaven. Look at what Peter writes. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Word there, nearsighted. Myopia. Can't see far. Say, Graham, what does that mean? What does it mean? He's talking about a spiritual condition here, being nearsighted. You know what it looks like? You go to Melbourne on a trip. You're conducting business, and you've finished your business, and you're just having a meal in your hotel, and there's a woman there who's waiting on your table, and you get chatting with her, and all of a sudden the conversation turns, and she says, you know, I'm going to be off work in an hour. Would you like to meet me? You're married. You have a wife. You have a young son. You have a daughter. And you say, yes. Nearsighted. You don't understand. You lose sight of the fact that by saying yes to that, the damage you do to your marriage. How do you explain later to your son, to your daughter, what you've done? The damage you do to your testimony in Jesus Christ. Nearsighted. You become spiritually blind. You see, what Peter is saying is, you never stand still spiritually. You're either moving forward or you're going backwards. That's why I repeat where Peter says, make every effort to keep going forward. So don't become blind, nearsighted, destroy our lives. Look at the last thing that is said there in verse 9. It says, if you don't practice these things, if you're not going forward, look what it says. He's forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. You understand that? That's justification. I have been saved. I've been cleansed from my past sins. That you're justified. It doesn't say you lose your justification, because when he's talking about adding to your faith, now he's talking about your sanctification. Sanctification is becoming more like Jesus. And here's how these two intersect. Peter brings them together because he says, if you are not moving forward in your sanctification, guess what? You lose sight of your justification. You lose sight of who you are. Your justification, the fact that you've been cleansed and you're forgiven, it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. You've forgotten it. And you live just like everybody else. That's why Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith. Keep moving forward. Don't just stand still. Don't be stagnant. Keep pushing forward. Lord, what's next? I want to introduce a sheet. We don't do this often, but we're doing it today. It's in your messenger. And I'm going to have the helpers come down the aisles, because I'd like every adult to have one of these. And we're going to look at this. I put at the top a spiritual inventory. This is really more to see how we're doing as a community of faith. How are we doing? If you put your hand up if you don't have one, and we'll put one in your hand. Now, if you're new here to SUBY Church, or if you're visiting today, that's great. We're glad you're here. You can fill this out. You don't have to turn it in. This is to try to see, how are we doing as a church? How are we going, moving forward? So they're handing those out. If we could just take some time. We got a lot in the middle here. We're still looking. And while those are being handed out, I'm just going to walk through this real quickly. It shouldn't take you long. You see, it says, don't place your name on this form, because frankly, we don't want to know who you are, but we just want to know what's happening within this congregation. Number one, are you closer to the Lord this year than you were last year? Just tick one. Yes, no, I can't say. Yes, no, I can't say. Which one is it? You're adding to your faith, because remember, you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. No one ever stands still. Number two, do you believe you have grown or increased in your practice of certain spiritual disciplines? This is what we do with our wholehearted follower stuff. Bible reading, prayer, corporate worship, small group, service, mission, accountability. You can write, yes, I'm growing in those areas. In some of those areas I'm growing in, no, not at all. Number three. What has contributed to your spiritual development throughout this year? And you can tick as many as you want. Whatever you think you've been growing in, what do you think is contributing to your spiritual health, your development? Just let us know. We'd love to be able to see what God's using to help you grow. And then number four, the last one. This one's the important one. This is what we've been talking about. What's your next step? What's your next step? Anyone here want to put your hand up? You've arrived. You're done. Dad, you're about to turn 80. Are you done? No, he's shaking his head no. Still going. Me too. What's your next step? It says tick as many as you want. Actually, I'd say just tick one. Just pick one area and say, Lord, this is an area I really want to concentrate on. I really want to develop in. Maybe it's personal Bible study. Commitment to be here in corporate worship, small group, service, mission outreach, accountability, which one? Don't put your name on this, because I want you to hand this in when we collect the care cards. We'll receive this from you. I want to close telling you a story. Back when I was in high school, we had a PE class, physical education, and it was spring, and so we were going to be studying track. You know what studying track in PE means? You go out, and he says, hit the track, and you run, and then he says, come back in, and that's it. That's the class. A lot of teaching done there, right? Well, we had a little bit of a difference where they decided we were going to actually run some relays, and we were going to run a mile relay, and that meant there was going to be four of us. And I wasn't running track. I'd played basketball, but that season is over. I wasn't in very good shape. But somehow I was running the leadoff leg, and everybody else was running track who was around me. And I felt way out of my depth, but the last word my team said to me was, they said, just try to stay with the pack. So there the gun sounds, I'm off, we're running. And, you know, I'm staying with them. First quarter, all the way to half, I'm staying with them. But this is when it got to be a problem. Because, you see, they started to kick when they got to that halfway point, and I was already spent. I didn't have anything left. By the time I got to the three quarters of the way around, they were already crossing the line and handing off their baton. My legs were like logs. I mean, it took everything I had to just get one foot in front of the other and just keep going. And I actually was entertaining the idea of quitting. The only thing that kept me going was, well, firstly, I didn't want to let my teammates down. But secondly, it's one thing to lose really badly. It's another thing just to out and out quit. And I don't think I could have stood that shame. So I willed myself over that line and handed the baton off and then collapsed in the infield. I was thinking about that story because I could see the finish line. And I kept moving towards that finish line. We don't really have that benefit per se. Our finish line will be the day we die, the day we see Jesus. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tired we get, the Lord says, just keep moving forward. Just keep going. You know, really, Jesus is our finish line. When we see him, then we know our race is finished. Remember the Apostle Paul? What great words. He said, I've fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Will that be said of you? You kept going. Kept running. Right to the very end. That's my prayer for you. Would you bow with me now? Father, we look forward to the day. We'll see your Son face to face. Lord, our race will be done. We look forward to hearing the words, well done. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Lord, you challenged us to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, love, in increasing measure. Lord, grant us the courage and the strength as we partner with you to keep moving forward. Thank you for these, your people, Lord, the way you're working in them. Father, we thank you that we're not alone. It's by your power, your divine nature working in us. We can accomplish anything. For this reason, we say thank you. And in Jesus' name, we say thank you and amen. You have a card. It looks like this. I'd ask you just grab this card.